I think the reality is when our hearts are burning with love for Jesus and with love for lost people who need to hear, we can't help but evangelize.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, we are continuing in our series in biblical discipleship, looking again at disciplines of discipleship. And last time we considered some dreaded words, these dreaded words that we hate to hear. They can conjure up all kinds of nasty thoughts and feelings, words like homework for some of us, bills, politics, disease, death, taxes. But another one of those dreaded words for many of us is this word right here, discipline. It's a word we tend to shun because it meant, as a child, it meant unpleasant consequences as a result of our behavior. And even as adults, it can now mean unpleasant consequences as a result of our behavior. And as followers of Christ, though, God disciplines us. It may mean unpleasant circumstances God uses to shape us and to make us more like Jesus. Now, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing, to be made more like Jesus. But the process isn't always that pleasant. So discipline, though, isn't thought of as something positive, and yet, understood properly, it is a positive. But discipline, though, it isn't just consequences. It isn't just consequences for behavior. Discipline, though, can be constructive, powerful, positive habits or actions. And in fact, these disciplines can spare us from many worse, negative, or painful consequences and can bring great joy and benefit into our lives. So we began our look at discipline and spiritual disciplines last week. And today, then, I'd like us to consider some more dreaded words. These words are not words like bills or disease or death or taxes. But these are words, then, that sometimes in the disciplines of the Christian life that some of us as Christians dread. And we really shouldn't dread these things, but we do. And these words are evangelism, serving, and stewardship. Evangelism, serving, and stewardship. Why do we dread these words? These are wonderful things, aren't they? Well, yes, they are. But sometimes evangelism, a lot of things, what immediately comes to mind is people, what? Fearful. They're afraid of rejection. We're afraid we might offend someone. We don't want to be pushy. So we're afraid to evangelize, that is, to proclaim our faith. Or serving. Uh-oh, that's work. You mean I have to work? God puts me to work in the kingdom doing something? Yes, he does. So sometimes we might dread that, serving. Or stewardship. Well, you know what that is. That steward is what? To be a good manager of resources that God has given us. And that's what? That's our time. That's our talents, our gifts, our abilities. But here it is. And somebody saying, I knew he was going to go there. Stewardship, people usually think of what? Of money, right? Yeah, money. Using our resources for the glory of God, for the benefit of the kingdom. These are all wonderful things, but we may be afraid of evangelism because of a fear of rejection. Or maybe somebody's going to ask us a question. We don't know the answer to that. Or we're afraid of serving because, oh, it's work. It's hard work to work sometimes, isn't it? Or stewardship. You mean God's in charge of my time and my money? Yeah, he's in charge of everything, isn't he? But I want us to know, though, that a disciple, a follower of Jesus, a student of Jesus, practices spiritual disciplines, not for in and of themselves, just to do these things, but does them for a purpose. We practice spiritual disciplines in order that we might become more godly, become more like Jesus in character, in thought, in deed. That's the purpose behind this. So we're looking again, we're going to use the same scripture passage that we used last week. We're going to look at it again next week. So by the time we're done with this little short section on the spiritual disciplines, we're all going to have 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 10 memorized, right? Whoop, wait a minute, that's one of those disciplines we talked about last week there. But we're going to look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 10. Just reacquaint ourselves with the teaching of the Word of God here on this matter of practicing disciplines or training for godliness. But first, some context. See, in 1 Timothy, again, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the young pastor, Timothy, to instruct him, to encourage him, to encourage him to confront and oppose false teaching in the church, and making the point what the true gospel leads to practical, visible change in the lives of those who believe it. And following Christ faithfully will lead to godliness, but that godliness doesn't come quickly or easily, does it? No, it is something for which we must train, we must work at, we must exercise discipline. It's something for which we must exert effort over time. So listen to what Paul says to young Timothy here. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." Paul tells us here what? Some will depart from the faith. The Spirit expressly says, it's made very clear, that in latter times, and remember he said, when are the latter times? Right now. It's been the latter times since the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. We've been living in the latter times. And some will depart from the faith. They'll devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. They're liars whose consciences are seared. As you know, Paul rarely minced words. He said what he meant. And I think what he's combating here is a legalistic mentality on the part of some of these false teachers who were infiltrating the church. And what Paul is dealing with here is this idea that we measure godliness by what we are giving up, even though God gave them good things. And he's confronting that and saying that all that God has created is to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. So he's coming against this legalistic false teaching here. So some will depart from this faith. But Timothy, not you. You must train yourself for godliness. Put these before the brothers and sisters in Christ, and you will be a good servant. You've been trained in the words of the faith and the good doctrine that you followed. He not only knew the scriptures, knew doctrine, but he was faithful to it. He was obedient to it. It had trained him. And so, Timothy, good teaching and a good example will help the church then to persevere in right doctrine and right living. And Timothy, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time on silly myths. You know, there are so many things that we can waste our time getting caught up in and arguing about. He says, don't waste your time on that nonsense. But you do something else. What? Train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Just as an athlete must train in order to excel in a sport, a musician must practice in order to excel, a singer must practice. Right, Cindy? It takes discipline to do that. In the same way, if we're going to become more godly, we need to train for it. We need to practice it. We need to work out. So bodily training has some value, but godliness has value in every way. Why? Because godliness, a Christ-like character and thinking and deeds, these things bring benefit and hold promise right here, right now, but also the life to come forevermore. And so, aware of that, to that end, let us toil and strive. Let's work at this. So 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself for godliness. I like how the New American Standard puts it. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. I've told you there's many wonderful resources out there. This is the best resource I know of for training in godliness right here is this book, The Word of God right here. But there are some books that human authors have written that can be encouraging to us to help explain the scriptures to us and to help us in this task of pursuing godliness. And this is one. There are a number of good books on spiritual disciplines. I like this one by Donald Whitney called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. This is well worth your time and your investment in this. But he goes through and he talks about what spiritual disciplines are and how they can help us to grow or pursue godliness, pursue a Christ-like character. He says, remember, that spiritual disciplines, what are they? That spiritual disciplines, they're practices, they're activities that are found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're habits of devotion, they're habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. So their actions, their habits, their practices found in the Scripture that help us to grow into the image of Jesus, to be more like Christ. That's what the spiritual disciplines are. And so we've been considering these spiritual disciplines, how they can help us to grow in godliness. And last week we considered three of them: Bible intake, prayer, and worship. Bible intake, I think that is critical, isn't it? Whether it's listening to it, like in a sermon right now, if it's in a Bible study, or it's our own personal reading and reflection, to read the Word of God, to study and reflect, to meditate on the Word of God. But most importantly, it's not just reading it and knowing it, but it's also what? Doing it, doing what it says. James says what? Don't be the person who hears the Word of God and then goes away and quickly forgets about it, but be the one who hears and does what it says. So Bible intake, prayer. There's that communication with God, that conversation with God, the importance of that. Worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Well, today then we want to look at three more here, at evangelism and serving and stewardship. Let's look at that dreaded word, evangelism. Now, I say dreaded word. Some of you, well, that's not dreaded at all. They love it. I know some of you love this. But some of us, we get a little sweaty. We start get a little shaky when we hear the word evangelism, don't we? Can we be honest with one another for just a minute? Right? We know it's good, and we know it, and we love Jesus, we love the gospel, and we know we need to share the gospel, but you know, we get the heebie-jeebies at the thought of like actually talking to someone about Jesus, don't we? Why? As I think it may be a number of reasons, but I think what? We're afraid of rejection, we're afraid, we don't want to be offensive. You know, most of we don't want to offend people, but the reality is we know that the gospel, it's the greatest news, the good news, and yet there's something about it that offends people. And the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? Because while the Bible is good news, while the gospel is good news, in order to understand and rejoice in the good news, you first have to know the what? The bad news. And so that can become offensive to people. Because what's the bad news? You are a sinner who is under God's eternal judgment. People don't like to hear that. Are we surprised people get offended by that? But it's true, isn't it? And also, let's be honest for a minute here. Have we all known some who are maybe a little more aggressive or pushy about it than people? They heard it, they don't want to hear it anymore, and yet they keep pushing it. We're afraid of being like that. We don't want to be like that, right? And how many of us here, again, let's be honest with one another. How many of us here have been, we've been at home, we're busy with something, and door knocks, and what? It's our local Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, right? That annoys us. Sometimes, well, that's annoying because it's false teaching, first of all. But it's annoying because what? Don't bother me in my home with this, right? Or this is one, a confessional moment here this morning, folks. This is a great massive confessional moment. I got to tell you about it. This is something. I was on vacation just like a year ago, and it was in Florida. And sometimes it can be even, this is a believer, I know, with the best of intentions, but I got to tell you, I was on vacation, I was in Florida. It was there was a Friday night street fair going on in this little town called Safety Harbor in Florida near Tampa. So I'm there, and with a friend, we're walking down the street, and here's this man, and he wants to tell me about his church. He's got some information for me. And I could see from it, you know what, I think this is a good church. I think this is true. But he won't let it go, man. He just keeps, and I'm just saying, well, thank you. I am a believer and all that. And of course, what, I think they're trained by instinct not to believe you if you say they're a believer. Because people, everybody thinks they're a believer. So he's got to keep pushing it. And at some point, it's just like, Lord, give me grace here with my brother who won't let go. Right? And so for some of us, that's what the word evangelism means. But is that what evangelism really is? I don't think so. What is evangelism? What? It means to tell, to proclaim good news. And yes, we do it with our mouths. But there's also a very powerful witness that comes from our lives, right? It's the testimony of our mouths. It's the testimony of our lives. And we're commanded in the Scriptures to proclaim the good news, to make disciples. Well, in order to make disciples, you have to. It starts with evangelism, doesn't it? A disciple is what? Is a student, a learner, a follower of Jesus, and it's a process that we're all in of growth there. But in order to become a disciple, you first have to be evangelized. You have to be regenerated, made alive, become a believer through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God can do that in all kinds of ways, but one of the most common ways he uses is what? A believer telling it to someone else. How many of you here are a believer because someone explained the gospel to you, told the gospel to you? Raise your hand. Right? I know, some people, they're in a hotel room, they pick up the Bible and they read and God converts them on the spot. But I'll bet you even for that person, there were others that God used to bring into their life to prepare them for that moment, perhaps, or to grow once you do that. God puts us together then, doesn't he? So it is commanded. But you know what? It is also, it's a privilege, isn't it? It's a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's a privilege to be able to tell others about him, about the hope, eternal hope that's found in him. But also, evangelism was to be empowered by the Spirit. You know, I believe this, and I have seen this happen. I'm sure all of us, we've seen this at one time or another. But I think sometimes the reason maybe we can be a little hesitant to evangelize is because we feel like we're fighting an impossible battle. And you know what? Apart from the working of the Spirit of God in that person's life, it is impossible, isn't it? But the reality is there is somebody else out there who has gone on ahead of us and is doing the heavy lifting for us. And that person is the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. And so evangelism, if it's my effort or your effort to try to convince somebody else to believe against their will, well, good luck. But that isn't evangelism. Evangelism is what? It's spreading the seed. It's proclaiming the good news. And it's the Holy Spirit who does the hard work of convicting, of regenerating, making someone who is spiritually dead come alive. We can't convict and regenerate. The Spirit does that. So we're just what? We're just to be faithful to God's call to tell. But we leave the heavy work to the Spirit. So it's empowered by the Spirit. And it's also, it's a discipline that can be learned. It's something we practice. It's something that we can get better at. But you know, as I think about this, that, you know, it's well and good. We can talk about evangelism techniques, ways of learning how to share our faith. That's good. But you know what I think is most important of all? Is it starts with our own hearts. That sometimes maybe we're reluctant to evangelize, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here except myself on this one, okay? But sometimes maybe we're a little hesitant to evangelize because, let's face it, our hearts aren't burning with love for Jesus and others. Can we add? This is confessional morning here, right? I think the reality is when our hearts are burning with love for Jesus and with love for lost people who need to hear, we can't help but evangelize. So I think evangelism begins with a heart of love for Jesus, a heart of love for the lost. Well, how do you get a heart of love like that? By obedience to the Word of God and by knowing Him. It's practicing the Spirit. We learn to love Him, don't we? We learn to love Him. We learn to love others. Folks who've been married for a while in here, have you had to learn how to love your mate? Absolutely. So evangelism begins with a heart for Jesus and a heart for people. And when we love Jesus and love people the way He does, we can't help but evangelize. So evangelism is a discipline. It's something we work at. I think it's also something that, and I have found this certainly to be the case, that if we make ourselves available to God to be used, to tell someone the good news, do you think He'll do that? I've seen it many, many times. Say, God, would You use me today? You think He'll do that? I know it's happened in my case a lot of times. And sometimes it's in very, very unlikely. I didn't see that coming, but there it was. Where someone will just come up to you and it's just a casual conversation with something, and then they'll turn to you and it's just like, ever heard the expression of like throwing like the ball like right down the center of the plate, like right up, boom, there it is, just ready for you, hit it out of the park. Well, they'll just say something that indicates, man, their heart is ready to hear. See, I think we're convinced that evangelism is such a difficult thing to do sometimes because we believe that everybody out there who is not a believer is just does not want to hear it at all. When the reality is, folks, so many people, they do want to hear it. Maybe they don't understand that's what they're looking for, but they're ready and the Spirit has prepared their hearts. They're ready to hear it and they want to hear it. And it can come in very unlikely places, including the Wonder Lake Fire Department, where you get these big, tough guys, right, Skip? Who, you know, they see, they don't want to hear it. Well, you know what? they want to hear it too. I've had a lot of conversations there. And in fact, there's one young man now that I'm working with who has come to faith in Christ, and I'm meeting with him through regular discipleship now. And it just started with a conversation one day about something else. And when you see some of the things firefighters see, you might start thinking about some eternal questions. If we make ourselves available to God. So that's the discipline of evangelism. But it's something, it's a discipline. We train, we work at it. Serving. Oh, service. Work. Well, again, what? We're commanded to serve. But what? We are gifted and equipped. I think most of us know that in here, that God has given you abilities. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's given you resources. He's given you spiritual gifts that are to be used to serve others and to build up the body of Christ. But these, though, are, again, aren't to be things that we just work real hard at in the power of our flesh, but these abilities, these gifts are to be exercised in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, when we're faithful to that, God will do eternity-changing things in you and through us. And our motivation for this is not, well, I'm supposed to serve, so I guess I better do it. No, our motivation as we grow in this, as we practice, as we discipline ourselves, our motivation then becomes gratitude. Gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ. And joy, there's joy. How many of you know that there's joy in serving? Now, I know that sometimes there's hardship in serving, and there can even be a little feeling of drudgery sometimes. But many things in life are that way, aren't they? But there's great joy in serving, in using the gifts and abilities that God has used you to be a blessing to someone, to build up the church, to build up the kingdom. But you know, there's also a promise in Scripture that whatever we do for Christ, our labor in the Lord, is occasionally, only occasionally in vain, right? That's what the Scripture says. It's only occasionally empty or purposeless, right? No. Our labor in the Lord is never, never in vain. It's never empty. It's never worthless. And sometimes we think our service maybe isn't being noticed or isn't making a difference. I think you'd be quite surprised to know how much of a difference your service makes, and it's felt. And when it's not there, it's felt and known, isn't it? But whether it's ever known or observed by anybody else, any other human being, merely human being, God always sees and knows, doesn't he? And he will reward. There's joy in serving, and there is reward. There is eternal reward in serving. And the reality is everyone is going to serve someone. You know, there was, I had a friend when I was a student at Moody. His name was Steve. He lived just down the hall from me in the dorm. And I'll remember three things about Steve. The first thing, well, probably more, but we're just going to go with three here this morning. The first one is, you know, he was a wonderful young man who had a great heart for Jesus and for people. He loved God, he loved his word, he loved people. The other thing I remember about Steve is he got the job that I wanted. I was so bummed out and depressed. You see, I was looking for a job, and so there were some options. There was a posting on a bulletin board of job opportunities there. And then one of the jobs was working in the observatory at the John Hancock Center. Because, you know, Moody, it's about 6 blocks away from there. And I love skyscrapers. I loved going up there and just looking out at the city. And so there was a job working in the observatory at the John Hancock Center. And I was really pumped and excited about this, you know. And so I hear about this. So I call about it and I find out, oh, the job's already been filled. I'm like, ah, no, you know. So then I'm talking later that night to Steve. And I say, oh man, I'm so bummed out. There was this great job working in the observatory at the John Hancock Center. But I called it, it had already been filled. And Steve said, I know, I filled it. Ah! So I remember that about Steve. Oh, I'll definitely always remember that about Steve. But here's the other thing I remember about Steve, though, too. He was a big fan of Bob Dylan. I've never quite understood the Bob Dylan thing, you know. Like, it's just like, I get, yeah, he's a great songwriter. Oh, okay, but come on, when you sing like this all the time, you know. But there was a time when Bob Dylan may or may not have become a Christian, I don't know. But he put out a Christian album then. And there was a song on it that was called, that they said, what? You gotta serve someone. And so Steve was always walking around the hall saying, you gotta serve someone. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve someone, right? It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve someone. Why not serve the Lord, right? So evangelism and serving. And then finally, what? Stewardship. Stewardship. Now, a lot of people instantly think, money. Oh, he's going to talk about money. Well, yeah, I am for just a moment here. But stewardship isn't just money. Stewardship, to be a steward, means to be what? A manager of another's resources. And the truth is, all of the resources that you have, that I have, yeah, that's money, but it's also, it's our time, it's our talents, it's everything that God has given you and me. They don't belong to you, and they don't belong to me. They are on loan from God, right? Everything we have is on loan from God. He owns it all. And he gives us those things to use, to manage them well, to be a good steward, a good manager of the resources that God has given us. And so this is a spiritual discipline, is being a good manager of the resources God has given us. And this is something we have to work at. We have to train and we have to practice. We have to get better at. Better managing what? Our time. Taking advantage of the time and the opportunities that we have for the kingdom. Because Scripture makes it clear that the time is short and it's passing, isn't it? But yet, even in this short life that is here today and gone tomorrow, we can do things that will last forever. So we need to be good stewards of our time, good managers of our time, of the opportunities that God has given us to serve the kingdom, to serve Him, to serve people. Be a good steward of our time. Be a good steward of our talents, our abilities. This ties in with that because everybody's got to serve someone, right? But you do. And we can serve ourselves, or we can serve the Lord. Do we use the time? Do we use the abilities, the talents, the skills, these things that we have to honor Christ, to benefit the kingdom of heaven? And yes, here it is, folks, money. Are we good stewards of money? This is one of the great resources that God has given us. So some people will go right to, well, tithe, you got to tithe. And I'm not opposed to tithing, okay? But the New Testament teaching on giving for the believer is what? That it is something to be done, that we're all called to give, but to do so what? Generously, sacrificially, regularly, for the glory of God, right? Proportionally. Some can give more than others. And I'm not going to talk about, well, you got to give this percent, you got to do that. What I'm saying is we all do need to give out of a generous heart and to give, and that God loves a begrudging giver. Right? Oh, wait, that's not it. What was it, Steve? Is that
cheerful?
I'm sorry, I misquoted. God loves a cheerful giver. And God does this for His glory. And there's joy. Folks, there's joy in giving. And somehow, when we're giving, when we're being good stewards or managers of our resources, somehow or another, we grow to be more like Jesus through that. Evangelism, sharing our faith with others, serving. You got to serve somebody. Serve the Lord. Stewardship. Be a good manager of all that God has given you for the glory of God and for the benefit of the kingdom. So what? What am I to do with this? Well, take us back to where he says, what? A disciple, a learner, a follower, a student of Jesus Christ practices, works at, trains in spiritual disciplines, habits for the purpose of godliness, the changing of our character to be more like Christ. So does your heart burn with love for Christ and for those who need to hear His good news? I tell you, when it does, we can't help but evangelize. And when we pray for opportunities for God to bring people our way, He does it. Are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving the Lord? And who's in charge? Who's in charge of resources? God is the owner of it all, but He gives us the ability to be in charge, some to our detriment sometimes, doesn't He? But if you ceded control of your resources, your time, your talent, your treasure to God for His control, and when you are doing things, and again, we're practicing, we're working at it, God works in and through these disciplines to transform our character, transform our minds, transform our hearts to be more like Jesus. And that's what discipleship is all about, being more like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Jesus, who perfectly fulfilled the righteous requirements of Your law, who never sinned, and through faith in Him, Lord, is that gift of perfect righteousness, but also through whom is the covering for our sin, the atonement, the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sin, who absorbed the punishment or the judgment for our sin. Thank You for Him. And through whom is victory over death, who rose again that we might rise with Him. Lord, we want to be His disciples, His students, His learners, who are being transformed, being made increasingly more and more like Him in thought, in word and deed. And God, would You teach us to keep working at these disciplines, whether it's taking in the Scriptures, it's prayer, it's worship, if it's evangelism, if it's serving, if it's stewardship. In all of these things, God, would You make us more like Jesus? And these things we pray in His name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.